Good morning. I think I'm turned a little high here. Turn that down. My voice is too strong. It's good to see you all this morning. This is a special day. It's always a special day when there are those who come and say, I want to give testimony to my faith, to the congregation. And Gabriel's doing that this morning, and we really appreciate that. As I've said in the past, it's not only him coming to share his testimony of his relationship with Jesus Christ, but it is the church also saying, we're committed. We're committed to be here for him. Pray for him, encourage him, teach him, help him in any way that he has need. That's our responsibility. And so I wanted to talk just a little bit today before we get started and have the baptism about why water baptism. I've had people ask me that question over the years and kind of refined the answer over a period of years as well, anticipating that that question is going to be asked and is by some. Why? Why do we do water baptism? Basically, since we say that it has absolutely nothing to do with salvation in terms of being saved. You don't get saved by going into the baptismal tank and doing what you do there. But it is, and we want to say this right at the top, it is really the first step of obedience to the Lord that you generally take after you receive him as Savior and Lord. It's the very first act of obedience. Because the Lord said, once they come to know him, they were to be baptized. That's the first command. And so baptism is really the first act of obedience. Even Jesus was baptized, as we are well aware, in Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I think an important look at this first act of obedience is important. Because the act of water baptism, that is being immersed in water in response to receiving salvation, is a very first important step in the Christian life. And it should be done as soon as there is evidence that there's new life. You know, when a baby is born, everybody is right there waiting to hear what? What's the first thing you want to hear? That cry, knowing that baby is alive and well and doing okay. If there's no sound, there's sadness. If there's no sound, there's no life. In the Christian's life, it's similar. Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be some sound. First of all, a witness. A witness of what you've done. And sometimes that comes as a personal verbal witness to those around you who you come in contact with. You tell them about the decision you made and how you've accepted Christ and how you desire to walk with him, etc. The second thing that happens is you demonstrate that by baptism. Water baptism. In the scriptures we read, and we see the Lord himself coming to his cousin John to be baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. That's what he said. He then went on to establish baptism as an eternal ordinance. for the church, calling every believer to follow in his steps. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In our modernized comfort zone Christianity, we do, sad to say, tend to take God's commandment far too lightly. Chuck Colson put it this way: most Westerners take baptism for granted, but for many in the world, the act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, and once meant imprisonment, for Soviet or Chinese or Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant. A wedding ring is an outward sign that a person is married. A military uniform is an outward sign that a person is involved in that particular branch of service. Similarly, baptism, water baptism, is a symbol designed by God to identify a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. However, I use the word symbol here with caution. All right? To say that it's just a symbol takes away from the depth and the beauty of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it is so much more than that. We are saved. We are spiritually baptized into Christ. We know that because Galatians 3:27 says that all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And into his body, the church, we're told in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Baptism in water is an outward representation of these inward realities. In biblical symbolism, water always represents cleansing. All right? Matter of fact, in Ephesians, it talks to husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water by the word. And then, of course, we have in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a sincere heart, of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then there's spiritual rebirth. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, both of which are central themes of baptism. Water baptism is, in essence, a funeral. Did you know that? Now, we don't often think of it that way, but it is. It's a funeral. Water baptism is an act of faith in which we testify, both to God and the world, that the person that we have before us is dead and buried, and we are raised to a new creation in Christ. That's what it means to go down into the water and back out of the water. Going down, you identify with the death of Jesus Christ. You've died with him. When you come out of the water, you are representing your resurrection with Jesus Christ to a new life. A life that has been placed within you by the Spirit of God that now dwells there. So it's a picture of a funeral, death and burial. But it doesn't stop there. Then you have the resurrection, out of which, once again, tells us by demonstration that death could not hold Jesus Christ into the grave. And death cannot hold you in the grave either. What a wonderful truth that is. One that we cling to, hold to, and know. We are buried with him by baptism into death. like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Buried with him in baptism, whereas also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Being baptized is a command from God, not an option. Not an option. Every believer is commanded to be baptized to testify and to demonstrate their faith and their unity with the Lord himself in his death, in his resurrection, and in new life. Think about it for a moment. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. As we think about that, Jesus' very call to the believe on him includes the call to be baptized. The Lord sees baptism as important as an act of obedience to him. In fact, baptism always followed a person in salvation. In Acts, we read in Acts 2:38, when the apostles and the people responded to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructs them to do is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We further read in verse 41, they gladly received his word and were baptized. Also we read in Acts 8:26 to 40, an account of Philip leading the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. And they finish their discussion, and the eunuch says, what is hindering me from being baptized? And Philip replies, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Then they came to a body of water, and Philip promptly baptizes him. Concerning the Apostle Paul, if you remember, he was on his way to Damascus. God accosted him there on the road. Made him blind. Later, Ananias, the prophet, came to him and said, God has a plan for you. He gave him a description, a job description, if you will, one of which none of us would want to accept. He said, I'm going to show you how much you have to suffer for me. None of us want to think about that. But in the meantime, as he was talking to him, he came and he stood before him. He said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. So he got his sight back. And that very time I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up. Be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. In other words, Paul, time to move. Time to get up, get baptized, and get out there and start carrying the message and following God's command. Now, there are a number of other instances that we could look at as well, but all these cases, there's always a sense of urgency that is attached to baptism. These people all responded to Jesus in simple faith. However, they didn't see their faith as complete until they had obeyed God by being baptized. Keep in mind that faith without works, corresponding action, is dead. All right? A living faith produces an obedient heart. We read that in Matthew 7, Luke 6, 1 John 2. And water baptism is to be our first act of obedience to the Lord. Christians who do not follow Jesus in water baptism have a much higher rate of backsliding than those who do. That's sad, but it's true. It's true. After all, if our walk with God didn't begin with the most basic act of obedience, it got off to a faulty start, and the foundation is weak. And this will make it more difficult to walk obediently in the area of our lives in the days to come. Every time you obey God, starting with baptism and going forward, every time you obey God, God establishes you and makes you stronger and more ready and willing to obey in the days to come. When we receive God's saving grace, it is no accident that He calls us to identify with Him in a way that makes it real to us. People who are struggling with guilt over their past, it may be because you haven't yet given the person you were a proper burial. Maybe you haven't done that. We've talked about this a number of times. Don't ever let your past define who you are today. Let God define who you are today. Let the Lord define who you are today, not your past. So we have to bury the past. It was to have died with Christ on the cross. Now put it in the grave and leave it alone. Quit digging it up. I used to have a little counseling tool that I used with people who were fighting in a marriage. And I would say, you know, you're like these people. You got this cat, and you bury the cat. The cat's the problem. But you bury the cat, but all you leave out is the tail. You leave the tail hanging out there. And every time you get into a fight over something, you reach over and you grab the tail and you jerk up all the rest of the junk. And every time you do it, it's worse. Because you know what happens when something's buried and stays there for a long time. And you rebury it again. Next time you have a fight, you reach over and you yank the tail again. Well, a lot of us do that with our past. Time and time again. Let it go, bury it, leave it to God, and go forward. Confidently in Christ. Strong in Christ. Always ready to obey. All right? Listen, water baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And the person that we were before is dead. Forever. And we are raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. You know the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Amen? All right. So as you can see, you have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain by following Jesus in water baptism, in obedience to His command. And ultimately, it goes back to Jesus' statement in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Baptism is simple, but profound act of obedience that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. If you've not yet taken this step, I strongly encourage you to do that as soon as possible. Let me know, and we'll schedule you for baptism as well. Of course, we cannot take baptism without first embracing the reality that it represents, first of all, a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Without this, baptism is simply getting wet. That's all it is. If you have not given your heart to Christ, then you need to do that first, receiving His gift, submitting yourself to Him, confessing your sin and repenting, and turning, trusting Him. Then come for baptism. Now, Gabriel's done all this in his life. I have to say, after reading his testimony, God pulled him out of a real hole, as He has with a lot of us. And He's been faithful to guide and direct and strengthen Gabriel and teach him and that's wonderful. But now he comes before us to testify as a new member of our church. He comes to share that he is identifying with Jesus Christ this morning in his death and his resurrection and his new life. So I'm going to ask if Earl and Gabriel will come and get ready, and we'll see you in the tank in a few minutes. Now, we're doing things a little different today than we have in the past. I've always been the one in the tank in the past to baptize people, and I'm going to miss that. I love that. But Earl is going to step in my place because I get in the tank, I might not get out. So, in any case, we're glad that they're coming and that he's coming to do this. Now, I'm going to have a little video shown right now, and then after that, if we have time, if they're not already in the tank, why, we will sing a couple of songs. But we want to watch this video, and it's a video made to remind us of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's run that, shall we?
Rome has taken direct control of Jerusalem and Judea. Herod's son Antipas awaits the arrival of the fourth Roman governor in 20 years. The arrogant and ruthless Pontius Pilate.
Greetings, Prefect. Welcome to Judea. I hope your time here will be prosperous and peaceful.
I intend to make sure it is.
Orders from Caesar. This descent must stop.
For Pilate and Antipas, any gathering of people is a threat.
Repent! And your sins shall be forgiven!
It is John!
At the River Jordan, crowds flock to John the Baptist.
I baptize you! Ready for the new kingdom!
Oh Lord!
As you are cleansed! So all Israel shall be cleansed!
Trouble. In the desert, the people are flocking to this wild man, John. They think he's a prophet. Some even call him the Messiah.
Do you truly repent? God's axe is ready. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
See the salvation of God!
And what is a Messiah? The Redeemer of the Jews. Anointed by God to set them free. Then you need to keep an eye on your Messiah.
Me. is right. Baptize me.
We are delighted, as always, to rejoice with Gabriel at this time. And it is a time to think about when we were baptized, what all that meant to us, and how through the years we've remembered it as he will. This is a very important time because he's coming to share with you and with me and with this congregation his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for that, and we pray. I want to once again, if I can, remind you, this is not just a responsibility of his, but it's also our responsibility as the church. As he's become a new member of our church, and he's baptized, and he's walking with God, we have a responsibility for him. And so we need to take that responsibility seriously and help him in every way that we can. Pray for guidance and direction for him as he grows in the Lord. So I'm going to ask him just a couple of questions, basic questions, which we must know before we actually baptize him. And he will respond to those questions. And you pray for him as he goes through this. And then greet him afterwards and tell him how much you love him in the Lord and what you commit yourself to do. Gabriel, we're so glad you're here today. I'm so glad you came to find us and to become a part of our family. And I need to ask you, is it true that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
I have.
All right. And is it your intent to walk with him and as much as possible within your power and by the power of the Spirit of God in your life to honor him throughout the rest of your life?
I do.
Amen. All right. Well, then, based on your statement of faith and your promise to us when you became a member that you would be baptized, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gabriel, is there anything that you would like to say to us at this time?
There have been a lot of marches lately about the unborn, and I'm thankful that you're all rejoicing today in one reborn. I was dead, and now I'm alive, and thank you.
Thank you. Going out. God bless. All right, they're going to get dried out a little bit, and then they'll be back out here, so a couple songs maybe while they're doing that. Got to keep these musicians busy. Have you picked another song yet? Jesus loves me. How many of you believe that? All right. Amen. All right. Very good. Another song.
Did we see a hand up somewhere?
524. Thank you. Oh, okay. I know whom I have believed.
God be the glory.
Are we ready for that? Yeah.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice.
How about how great thou art?
I think that's page 6.
I don't have the number, but it's in the book.
Oh, there was a 6. 76.
Did
okay.
Everybody hear that?
Yes.
76.
Can we do all verses?
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, I say, your God to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art, and sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Let's go another verse.
And feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Now you sang it. I want you now to take just a moment or two and tell me how God's blessed your life. So if you have a testimony, short, you stand up and tell me. Jim?
God's been real good to me. Gave me the church, gave me some good friends, and lots of hugs. I'm very happy the last couple of years.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
All right. Anyone else? You can do it sitting down.
I just, he's been faithful. I was young when I was in a Christian family and learned from the very beginning that God was faithful. He was always there. He's been through our lives as we've been together, and there's been many trials, but there's always been faithful. He's always been
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Yes.
I've been to several churches, and this is the most loving one I've ever been.
Oh, amen. Amen.
All right. Someone else.
Looks the same.
Gabriel, if you'll stay up right here. Anyone else have a testimony? Yes. You're alive. All right. David said that. Thank you, God. You kept me alive. Isn't that the truth? All right. Anyone else? One more. Yes. Amen. All day long. Gabriel, God bless you. And we have truly enjoyed having you with us and being a part of us. And we want to continue to pray for you and help in any way that we can. I want to give you your certificate of baptism. You can do whatever you wish with it. Okay. But we want you to know that we appreciate you, and that we do and will continue to pray for you in your life. Let's do that right now. Let's stand together and bow in prayer as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy to us. And we're just so often in awe of what you do and how you do it and how you work in our lives. And Father, when it seems all is lost, you are the answer. How we praise you for that. Thank you for the testimony today and this baptism. Thank you for Gabriel and his life. And Father, we pray you'll continue to bless him, encourage him, strengthen him, and use him for your glory always, as you do for all of us. We just thank you and praise you now for this time today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. God bless.